Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talking Text line, he covers the Tampa Bay Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud. Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
All right, Rick, man, what a wild ride for the Bucks, huh? Because, man, you thought once, you know, Brady retired, and then there's a bunch of guys sort of tied with him, a veteran group, and you knew it was going to be a rebuild. A lot of young players, but, man, the Bucks have drafted well. They've hit on a lot of draft choices. Had some injuries, certainly, on the defensive side this year. But, man, they hit pay dirt with Baker Mayfield. And now he's in an elite group of passers in NFL history. He's one of 13 guys that have thrown 42 touchdown passes in a season with a game left. So, man, how big of a surprise has Baker Mayfield been to people in Tampa or people like yourself who's covering it? He didn't come in there with all the accolades. I think a lot of people thought he might be the bridge guy to the next quarterback. He's been more than a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, he has. And I think it's, you know, when you consider that he was replacing the greatest quarterback of all time, not a lot of guys could do that. But, you know, the thing about Baker is if you look at his story, I've always said, you know, going back to his college days, he was a walk-on, you know, at Texas Tech, won freshman of the year, walked on at Oklahoma, won the Heisman Trophy, you know, first pick overall to a really bad franchise. You got him in the playoffs after 3 years. Bounced around four teams in about 18 months, really. And, you know, he's learned a lot. He's persevered. He's fought through that. He's always been a talented guy. And, you know, he had some really hard lessons. And I think in Tampa, you know, there was enough guys left over from the Super Bowl championship team. Jason Light has done a tremendous job these last four drafts. I think most of their draft picks are still on the roster. And, you know, it's hard to thread the needle. You're right. You go from a team with Brady and all these free agents and all these salary cap woes to the second youngest team in the league. But you found your franchise quarterback in the process. And these guys really believe in Baker Mayfield. He's the Pied Piper. They follow him everywhere. He plays, the competitive level is obvious. And so it's just been a tremendous thing for both the Bucks and for Baker to find a home here.
You know, Rick, one thing I've noticed, and you look at this category, you know, you can move the football, but are you settling for field goals or getting touchdowns? I look at NFL red zone touchdown percentage leaders this season. Okay, these are all, like, in the postseason. Number one's Baltimore, number two's Buffalo, number three now, maybe not so much, but look at Joe Burrow, what they've done in Cincy. Number three, then number four is Detroit, then Tampa Bay. And number five's over 67% as far as, when they get in the red zone, they're scoring touchdowns. So that's a big feather whenever you're a quarterback we're moving the ball, but we're getting in the end zone.
Well, and I think the biggest change has been these last 2 years, even though they were winning, they were last in the league in rushing offense. And you can't win in this league consistently if you can't run the ball. There's got to be a physicality to your offense, and it starts with running the football. And Liam Cohen, who's their new offensive coordinator, is coming here, and he just knocked it out of the park. He's probably going to get a number of head coaching job interviews because of it. But he spent, 5 weeks with Baker, with the Rams when he was out there with Sean McVay, and what they've done in the running game, both, up front, drafting, developing some linemen, Graham Barton, the first round pick out of Duke this year at center. They've really done a nice job, but schematically, they've managed to really keep teams off balance because they're so balanced. They're the most balanced team in the league, rushing and passing. And it's been something to watch. You got to give a lot of credit to Bucky Irving, who's coming here from Oregon and really taken off and became a 1,000-yard rusher this past Sunday. And the drafting development, but the coaching on this football team this year with Liam Cohen, with some of the offensive staff that they brought in, has really, really made this team a tough one to play from a defensive standpoint.
Rick, when I was looking at this, too, it's about being efficient and scoring touchdowns in the red zone. But you look at scoring offense, scoring defense, but they're scoring defense. If you look, what have you done for me lately since November the 10th, where they're at, only Green Bay is Minnesota, and Minnesota's ahead of them, giving up like 18 points a game. They're right there ahead of the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Ravens, you know, and then Green Bay, Minnesota, like I said, playoff team. So when you look at scoring offense, scoring defense, they're scoring touchdowns, but also that, you know, bend but don't break, whatever. When you're giving up only 18 points a game as of late, no, that could shock the world in the postseason if you're able to do that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a complimentary game, right? You control the football. You limit the possessions on the other side. And really, Todd Bowles has been doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors because they're missing so many players through injury on defense this year. I mean, their best player is Antoine Winfield Jr. And, you know, he's probably played not even half a season and has been struggling, you know, with injuries. They've lost three or four safeties at different times throughout the year. They're down a corner right now. You know, the strength of their defense is in the middle, you know, with Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey, those two defensive tackles that are leading the team in sacks, I think, right now. And so, you know, it's been tough at linebacker. Lavonte David is an ageless wonder at 34. He makes plays all over the field, but he's not the same Lavonte David. And there's been times when they only had one inside linebacker on the field because their guys were hurt, and they might play 25, 27 snaps with just one true inside linebacker. And so Todd Bowles is had to mix and match, and, you know, he's, you know, had Vita Vea dropping into coverage the other day in Dallas. Like, it's kind of crazy when you watch their defense, but they've managed to be much better since the bye week. I think the opponents are part of that. Let's be honest. You know, they played the New York Giants. They've played some teams like the Carolina Panthers who, you know, who've been okay, but not great teams. And so that's helped the average. But yeah, if they put it together and you know, they can be a problem when they score first. I think they're 9-1. So it's, you know, it's a team that'll be interesting to see if they make it to the playoffs.
You know, Rick, I'm glad you brought up Lavonte David. I've always been a fan of his coming out of Nebraska. And ironically, you look at active NFL tackle leaders. These are football players. Look at Washington, Bobby Wagner, number one, over 1,800 tackles. Right at 1,800, Lavonte David. DeMario Davis with the Saints. He's right at 1,500. But Lavonte David, I always said this. You know, you look at Tampa Bay's defense, like Warren Sapp, the linebacker.
Derrick Brooks.
But Lavonte David, I don't know if he's that much of a household name. Now, if you follow football, you know, but Lavonte David, his production, like you said, he's still playing. They, you know, you might be trying to replace him, but somebody has to beat him out. So when I look at, like, even Wagner, his opportunity, you know, you might have to move. But Lavonte David and DeMario Davis, how can you not cheer for those kind of players considering their consistency? And you know they're playing hurt. You know, this day and age, you're getting beat up, and you're playing since 2012. And come on, it's tackle football. It's not grab the flag. So I've always been a Lavonte David fan.
He's a great, great human being, too. And you know, I think those guys you mentioned, DeMario, came out in the same draft class. That's how far back they go. You know, the first part of his career, he was on bad football teams and never made the postseason. So nobody got to see him except in the division. And you really make your name in the playoffs. The other thing was, you know, that Pro Bowl voting being what it is, I mean, they used to, you know, consider him an outside linebacker and put him in the same realm as guys that were rushing the passer on every down. So that cost them probably a number of Pro Bowls. But if you look at his numbers, longevity has its reward. And, you know, the number of, you know, forced fumbles and interceptions and sacks and all these things that are, you know, splash plays, certainly tackles you just mentioned. I mean, he's right up there with Derrick Brooks, who played about the same number of years. I think Derrick played 15 seasons. And so, you know, there will be a discussion down the road, I think, about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If Luke Kuechly goes in, they came in together the same class. Luke didn't play very long, and I think Luke's absolutely a Hall of Famer. But Lavonte David is quietly racking up enough numbers, a little bit like Rondé Barber, who played so long but was on those Super Bowl teams, and now Lavonte's been on a Super Bowl team. So I hope, you know, at the end of his career, he didn't get it in the beginning. Maybe he'll get it at the end of his career.
One of the things, Rick, is the fact that I think Jason Light doesn't get a lot of credit, but man, he's got an eye for talent. If you look at over the last 3 years, maybe every draft pick has made the roster. That's amazing to me that you can be that good making that roster year in, year out better. He's got a real good eye for talent, and he was doing it in what you might call a soft rebuild, but it really was a major overhaul of the roster.
Yeah, it was, and you had to do it through the draft because they didn't have any salary cap money after Brady, and like I said, it's hard to thread that needle. Jason has done a tremendous job. A lot of different coaches that have been here. He's still here. Somehow he was able to stick around. Not many GMs can stick around when they don't make the playoffs the first 6 years of their career. He did. And you know, I guess that's a credit to him. But, you know, since then, what they're looking for, their fourth straight or third straight NFC South title, maybe the fifth straight year they've made the postseason, which is hard to do for any team. And, you know, I think the amazing thing to me is that, and he will tell you this, he's got guys in his front office that are spectacular, that are superstars. His two assistant GMs, John Spytek, Mike Greenberg, I don't know why. I seriously, when you look at Tampa, I don't know why people don't come in here and raid their front office, because those guys are absolute studs, and they should be GMs of their own teams.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And, man, listen, you talk about a spread. 14-point favorites, the Bucs are over the Saints. So and they're playing for something.
Well, you know what's crazy, Rick? The Saints have always played well in Tampa.
That's the weird part.
Don't fall into that trap. That's the NFL. We know what's happening
here.
Yeah.
Now, think about this to let you go, Rick. One of the weirdest games I've ever witnessed is when the Saints and Coach Dennis Allen was the interim head coach with Sean Payton. They beat Tom Brady, the Bucs, 9-0. I'm like, you said what? They got to be a misprint. 9-0.
If you had the under in that game,
that's almost
good.
Impossible. No one thought, like, that was one of the most weirdest games I've ever witnessed. The Saints won 9-0.
And you think Brady's on the other side and you don't score.
No, that was the craziest thing ever.
Rick, thanks so much.
Get over
for
the hump, but you know what? They got the one that mattered, and that was in the dome against
That's true.
And they talk about Antoine Winfield forcing the fumble.
And Devin White played a big part there, too. Rick, thanks so much for joining us
this afternoon.
Always appreciate it.
All right, Rick.
Thank you.